Good morning, High Point. We had a little spill up here we had to clean up, and as we're cleaning it up, I thought, that's how my week has gone. I had worked on the sermon up through noon Thursday, spent several hours putting things together, and then suddenly that sermon disappeared. Do you ever have anything like that happen on your computer? I tried everything. I called the professionals. I could not get it back. Now, maybe that's just a normal glitch that happens, or maybe Satan didn't want you to hear this message today. So here's the way I'm going to approach it. Even if I have to read it to you, you're going to get the message because I think it's important. Yeah. Furthermore, I am encouraged by the fact that when this world was confused and crazy and dark, that something called the Holy Spirit began to brood over those waters and brought forth light and got rid of the confusion, but brought understanding. Amen? That's what we depend on. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, I am asking your Holy Spirit to remove the darkness and bring the light. You know all of these people that are here today. You know the things that they go through. You know the encouragement they need. You know the strength that they need. And that's what I'm asking for today, is that you use this vessel. Clean me, Lord, so that you can use me freely to speak to them what you would say. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. One of the toughest questions philosophers have ever had to deal with is, why do we exist? What's the purpose of it all? The question is as ancient as the human race, yet we moderns still wrestle with it. Why? Because as human beings, we need a reason. So let's look at that word, reason. We bring that up. We'll get it. Okay, something based on a truth that justifies a purpose. You with me? What's a reason? Something based on a truth that justifies a purpose. So let's look at the word purpose now. Something we aim for, something we want to accomplish. So let's look at it this way. We work, we go to work for what? What is our reason for going to work? Who said it? Money. That's the reason. What is the purpose? So that we can have homes, we can have food, we can have clothing. But let me ask you this. How many people would continue to work if they didn't need the money? If they could get everything that they needed, most people would quit working. Now, to be sure, there are some people that would work because they love what they're doing. But then that, again, becomes a what? A purpose. A reason and a purpose. And here's my point. If you and I don't have a purpose for something, if I just ask you to go get busy doing, there's no reason, there's no purpose, we never take it seriously. Amen? You don't take something seriously unless there is a reason and a purpose. So God in his wisdom put a book in the Bible that deals with purpose. It's called Ecclesiastes, and that means teacher in the Greek, and it's written by the greatest human teacher. Jesus, of course, was human, but he was also fully human and fully God. The greatest human teacher was Solomon. And Solomon tells us, and we're going to bring this up on the board, if we don't understand our purpose, what we're aiming for in life, it will affect us in several negative ways. So I want to look at least five of these. We'll do it very quickly. Number one, if we don't understand our purpose, life will seem meaningless. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 4. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. You know what Solomon's saying? If there is no purpose, take the day off. Sleep in. Let somebody else do it because it doesn't make any difference anyway. When I was working for the airlines, if we couldn't get things going exactly like we wanted, somebody would usually pipe up and say, "Don't worry about it. 100 years from now, it won't make any difference anyway." If there is no purpose to life, that's absolutely true. If there is no reason or purpose to why we're here, everything would be meaningless. Number two, if we don't understand the purpose of our life, it will not only seem meaningless, but tiresome. Ecclesiastes 1, 5 through 8. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and round it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. Actually, this makes me tired just reading it to you. Along these lines, there was a study done a few years ago trying to find the most frequent answer to the most frequent question. How many of you think you know the most frequent question that we as human beings ask? What is it? How you doing? Everywhere you go, how you doing? And you know the most frequent answer? I'm tired. I'm tired. Interesting that the generations before us did far more physical labor than we do, but we're the generation of fatigue. One reason? We lack purpose. Then life seems to be not only meaningless, but tiresome. You ever caught yourself asking, why am I doing all this? Number three, without purpose, nothing is fulfilling. Build a business. Build a few businesses. Travel. Read books. Watch movies. Listen to music. And you know what happens when you're through doing all of that you possibly can? You're restless and you're antsy. You're looking for the next thing. You with me? Ecclesiastes 1:8. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. I have a reason for going through these, so just stick with me. Number four, if we don't understand the purpose of life, we'll seem insignificant. Ecclesiastes 1:11. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. Do you know what Solomon is talking about? The surety of obscurity. No matter how much any of us do, in time it will be forgotten. Now there is an exception to that, and I'm not going to speak on that today, but you can look it up, Revelation 20, verse 12, where we're told every single thing you and I do is recorded in God's books. But today, it's like an athlete who breaks a record. And for a while, everybody's picking that and talking about that athlete. A little time passes. Here comes a new athlete and breaks that person's record. And then the first athlete begins to move into obscurity. Seems insignificant. In the same way, without understanding of purpose and meaning, anything we do over time, if there is no purpose, it's insignificant. Number five. If we don't understand the purpose of life, it will seem uncontrollable. Ecclesiastes 1:15. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. One of the great frustrations of life is there are some things that you and I just can't do anything about. We can't control all sicknesses. Boy, do we know that. We can't control nature, and we can't control people. You know what this does to me when I think about it? And I look at our world, and my wife says I'm getting to be like Jeremiah. Here comes old doom and gloom. But when I look at the world, I want to literally put my arms around all the people I love. And I want to guarantee their safety and their well-being. Deep within me, that's what I want. I can't do it. I can't do it. Further, we long to stop these heart-rending tragedies that we see every day on the news. But you know what? We just can't control these things. So now, hopefully at this point, just this brief little bit that we've gone through this, just as Solomon said, without a reason, without a purpose, life would appear, are you ready? Meaningless, tiresome, unfulfilling, insignificant, and uncontrollable. That's what you and I are dealing with every single day. And if these ideas seem familiar to you, they are because they're current themes in modern books and movies with a world that has lost touch with God. Bertrand Russell, a devout atheist philosopher, was at least intellectually honest. He said this, "Unless you assume a God, the question about life's purpose is meaningless. Without God, human beings, listen to me now, without God, human beings have no intrinsic value. We're no more important than a cob of corn, a dog, a cow. If there's no meaning, if there's no purpose, because it seems that we are just a bag of chemicals that came together by random processes." So here's what atheism affirms. We came from nowhere. We're going nowhere. But right now, while we're alive, get this, we have dignity and we have value. Now, if you can think at all, you know that this is obviously trash. Meaningless trash. It has no value. Here's the bottom line. No God, no value, no meaning, no dignity, no afterlife, no purpose. So we have two options. Number one, we can try to make up a purpose. Just arbitrarily create one. In an effort to have a purpose, you know what some people say the purpose of life is? Just try to stay alive as long as you can. Isn't that inspiring? Yeah, just try and stick around. Others say that the purpose of life, ready for this one? The purpose of life, I'm thinking of our Thursday night study and some of those wise people, and this is what they would say. The purpose of life is to find the purpose of life. Wow. I'm bowled over. You know what that is? It's called hollow doublespeak. Even though it sounds very intelligent, it means absolutely nothing. Still, others try to find purpose in different types of activity. I'm into travel. I'm into sports. I'm into the arts. I'm into politics. Basically, what they're trying to do is artificially create something to give their life's meaning and purpose. You know why we need that? Because God has wired us in such a way, we need something at the center of our being to anchor us. But that something was meant to be the Creator Himself. So if we refuse to make Him the center of our lives, it creates a vacuum. It creates an emptiness that we desperately try to fill with things. And these things can become addictions. You know, we can be addicted to work. I've seen people, that's what their life's all about, going to work. Golf, partying, power, popularity, you name it. Without realizing it, we're driven to try to artificially fill a space that only God can fill. Option number two, and the one I recommend. If we don't know our purpose, we can genuinely try to find it, and a proven source is the Word of God. Do you know the Bible has withstood scientific, historical, and literary scrutiny? and it's been able to vindicate itself every single time. It's trustworthy and very clear about the purpose for mankind's existence. It not only tells us God's reason for giving us life, but it also tells us how to find our individual purpose within the greater purpose of God. So what is the purpose of life according to the scriptures? Read it with me. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Paul said to the Ephesians, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his. How? How are we to be his? Through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Can I just tell you right here, you and I have no hope of being holy. No hope at all, except through Jesus Christ. Because of his love, God had already decided through who? Jesus Christ, he would make us his sons and daughters, not servants, not worker bees, but sons and daughters with all the authority and intimacy that that has. I love this line. God's not doing things arbitrarily. Why did he do this? It was his pleasure. It was his purpose. So the first thing I want you to notice in this scripture is that even before the world was created, God's thoughts were already on us. In fact, he created this world specifically for us. Secondly, if we want to know why God made us, and you may have questions for me after the service about this, but scripture tells us that he created you and me to join spiritual beings that he had already created. Angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, and there are many other levels of principalities in the angelic forces. And together, get this, and together with them, we are to become his family, to be his imagers. Are you wondering, what in the world does he mean, to be his imagers? Do you remember in Genesis, what did God say? Let us, and I want to just say this to you too, because all my life I believed one way until we really look into the words. When God was speaking, he was not speaking to the Son. He was not speaking to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're God. It would be impossible that they wouldn't already know what's in the mind of the Father. He's speaking to his council of angels. Not that they're going to create, but they'll be watching. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. What does that mean? It means that we are to do what he does. Does that make sense? We often say, I can tell you're somebody's son. I can tell you're somebody's daughter. Because they're doing like mother and father did. We were created to be his imagers and go out and do things as he would do it. That is, we will spend an eternity doing his will, and that will make the new heaven and the new earth, a new Eden, paradise regained. From eternity past, God's desire was to love us and have us love him in return, and then bonded with him. When this life is over, to have an astonishing array of experiences, time without end. So hear me now. This is the core of this message. If we never establish and keep a close relationship with Jesus Christ in this world now, we've just missed the whole reason and purpose for our lives. It's all right there. Ephesians 1:10. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with what? As Christ as the head. So what's the reason and purpose for our time on earth? Preparation for an unbelievable, wonderful eternity with our Lord and King. You want a purpose? You want a reason? There it is. Ecclesiastes 3:11, the teacher put it this way: he has planted eternity in the human heart. What in the world does that mean? It means deep inside, when we sit, you have those times, nobody's around, you're just sitting by yourself, and you're thinking about life. I know what you feel, even if you won't admit it. You know that this life can't be all there is. This just can't be it. Furthermore, though we've never seen true perfection and we have never felt absolute fulfillment, we also deep inside know that they exist. And Scripture tells us that we are fast moving to the pinnacle of history when these things, perfection and deep, pure satisfaction, will be given to the elite. Who are the elite? The true sons and daughters of God. Those who have taken the time to be bonded with our Lord. Therefore, our main reason and purpose on earth is to prepare ourselves. That's what we should be doing. And as many others as we can before that event. John the Apostle describes this event. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. The Bible uses the sea a lot of times to indicate confusion and chaos. And in this new heaven and new earth, there's not going to be any confusion. There's not going to be any chaos at all. John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, I can't wait for this day. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. This is the reason. This is the purpose why we live. And this was the reason and the purpose that the angel sang when he was born in a manger, destined to die, to lift you and me up, to clean us, prepare us for something beyond description. Amen? Amen. God bless all of you. Merry Christmas.